So let's maybe start with the question we were talking about before. The first time I saw Toca Boca, it was Hair Salon. And I looked at it and I said, why the hell would anybody want to play with any kid want to play with this? And apparently that you said that's a fairly common reaction.
It's very common. I think it's really tricky for adults to think from a kid's perspective. And you look at it and you think that, like, what's the point? You know, everything has to have an intention. Everything has to be very task-driven, or it has to lead to something specific. Whereas for children, a lot of the times the outcome which is intended is just play. They just want to have fun, and that's the only thing going on. So it's very binary for a lot of kids. It's either fun or it's not fun. And it's as simple as that. Everything falls into those two buckets. And there's no questioning so much. Same thing as, like, look at the, maybe the best possible physical toy in the world, the cardboard box. You know, parents, you know, they buy a lovely gift for their kids. They hand it over, and then the kids start playing with the box. Parents, super disappointed, you know, I spent $50 on this present and now the kid is playing with the box instead. But for kids, they don't think that way. It's just, is it fun or is it not? And, you know, in cardboard box, it can be a submarine or an airplane or a horse or a pony or whatever. It can be anything because it's all in their own minds. And that, I think, like, really explains the kid's perspective to a very high degree, and how difficult it can be for adults to genuinely understand what that is like.
Well, in other words, it's the obvious stupid, really.
I think it's deceitful in that we've all been kids. You know, you were a kid, I was a kid, but we lost it. But somehow we think because we were one, we can still go back to that place. And I think that is a particular skill. And even if you get, you know, you're very professional about it in child development and you understand it, it's still a challenge. And it always will be. So it's, yeah, it's alluring in that you think that it would be something that you can easily sort of regress to, but actually that is very complicated, and kids do it so much better than adults.
I agree with you, from what I've seen and what I've learned over time. But why did you see this, and why what made you guys smarter? The word smarter is the wrong word, but I mean, why were you able to see this when other people didn't see it?
I think one of the insights that happened was, Emil Overmar, my co-founder, he was on Swedish paternity leave. You know, this is a luxury that we have in Scandinavian countries. So he was home with his kids, and he just saw them interacting with technology and in the way in which they treated technology as opposed to how adults do it, again, from the kids' perspective. And we had this photograph, which is a very good example, which sort of envisions exactly what I mean. And the photograph is Emil's son using his new iPod Touch as a cinema screen for Lego characters, you know. So he gets this new device, and from an adult's perspective, it's like, this is amazing. Children are playing with technology. Isn't it fantastic? Look at all the things they can do. And yet, from a kid's perspective, he's like, well, this looks like a big TV set. From a Lego character's perspective, it looks like a cinema. Let me play a video on that, put that up, and use that as a little cinema, and then I'll play with my Lego characters. Because to him, it's part of a play experience. He didn't treat it differently because it was technology. It's just, is this fun? Is this going to add something to what I'm playing, or is it not going to add anything? And that, I think, sparked something in my co-founder's mind, is like, this is something very, very specific. We shouldn't be discriminating around how unique and powerful this device is. We should just be thinking about it for kids and see, can we make something which is fun to play with? And the answer turned out to be yes. That's how it all got started.
Isn't it a bit like children's live more in the moment than parents do?
Definitely. I think it's that. And I think it's also this, I don't know, it's just looking at it in a different way, in which everything doesn't have to have a purpose, which I think a lot of adults are very into. Like, well, what's the point of it? Kids really have that kind of discussion when they're young and they're just playing, because play has a value in its own right for kids. I would argue that adults should you know, keep that line for themselves as well. Like, there's nothing wrong with play in its own right. It doesn't have to be the reward after education. It doesn't have to be something that leads to developing a certain skill, even if I think it is developmental. It can just be play for the sake of play. And I think you don't have to explain that for kids, because that's the starting point. Like, what do you want to do? I want to play. Why? I don't know. I just want to. You know, it's the question of asking why is something quite different, and one that for kids doesn't come very natural. I think adults put on that layer, like, what's it going to lead to? What is the outcome of this? Where are you taking this? Where is it going? Why is it that way? It's all fair and sound questions. But if you think of it from a kid's perspective, it's quite foreign. And I think that's where sort of the paths start diverging a little bit.
Is there an age where that starts changing for kids?
I would imagine this, you know, it probably is a gradual thing as age progresses. I mean, our apps are from around 3 to 9, somewhere there. So sort of early school years. And I imagine as far as you go after that, then more and more questions start arising, and sort of context, I guess, is added from society as well. You start realizing, I don't know, ulterior motives, and those kind of concepts become more natural. But it's a lovely place to not have to have that and not be sort of inherently, I think, just skeptical of things or discriminatory around those kind of things. I'm not saying that children are gullible. I'm saying simply that they can look at things for what they are, you know, a cardboard box can become anything, no more, no less. And you don't need anything else than just that to have a really good time. And that, I think, a lot of adults would have a hard time to do.
That's very interesting. Two things come to mind for me. One is reading a book about drawing and the artistic's mindset, which is very much what things are, what they are, and that's what you draw, and not letting anything get between your perception of what you see and what you put on the paper.
Yeah, there's a lot in that. And I think there's a lot in just offering sort of tools and things that allow this for this to happen. So a lot of our apps at Tokuwoka are creative. And there's a way of either sort of creative in the sense of an expression, or creative in the sense of having, a story that you can construct yourself. But in the same way that you give a piece of paper to three different artists and three kids, you're going to come back with six different kinds of things. It's the same thing with the app. You know, there's got to be room in there for kids to sort of put themselves into it. So the story that you make is quite different. So you give the piece of paper to Picasso, you're giving something back. You give it to a five-year-old, you're giving something else back. But it's the same thing. It's the same piece of paper and the same pen. You can design interactive products in the same manner. So sort of, it's intentionally left open. There's space left to add yourself. And that means that it just creates longevity. Like, you can play Toka Harrison for a long time because it's not anything. It doesn't have any points. It doesn't have any high scores. It doesn't have any levels. It's just a creative, fun tool for you to play whatever you want to play with. So your imagination is really the only limit that's being set.
One more question. Do you see any sort of common elements other than that in the way kids approach it or enjoy it? Are there also any common elements that go with age other than the ones we talked about?
It's hard to tell. I think what kids have an increased pressure, I think, to grow up at an earlier age. I think that's something that we talk about a lot is just allowing kids to grow up slowly. And I think there are definitely attributes that you can find that would sort of skew higher, and like once you're 11, this and that happens. But I use our apps or the metaphor that I use to describe is like the bunny rabbit or the teddy bear on the bed. You know, a 13-year-old girl still has a teddy bear on the bed, knowing I'm too old for this, really. I don't really want to play with this teddy bear, but there's something there still connected to childhood and an aspect of being, I know I'm sort of not quite an adult, but I'm also not a kid. And this teddy bear can become this sort of manifest, this idea of something that just relates to me being a kid. I think actually our apps can do a little bit of that. I anecdotally hear references to this, a sort of after a stressful day at school, I'll play some Toka Town because it just lets me relax in a completely different way. It's not really designed for that. It's not intended to do that, but it can be used in that way. And I think if we can do that and help kids grow up a little slower, do well, but grow up slowly, I think that's a great thing.
Do you see the day that when these kids grow up, that just like with Disney and with many of the other stories, that they will go out and buy the apps for their kids and say, in their new version, the new technology of the time, and say, this is what I used to play when I was a kid?
Well, we take that idea very seriously and sort of talked about it from an early point in time, that we're creating childhood memories. And that's a very serious thing and something that you should take very seriously. Now, we'll have to keep going for another, 20 years at least in order for that to happen. But I think if that's possible, that would be absolutely fantastic. I think that would be a dream to sort of have something which sort of evokes lovely memories from when parents were young and something which is so positive that they would want their own children to experience that as well. Yeah, that would be the dream, I think.
Well, great. I have two questions. That almost touches on my next question, which is, what is the most rewarding experience you've seen, you and your team of creators, founders?
We get a lot of feedback, of course, but I think one of the things which I remember especially is just experiences in was a girl who was in hospital. I had to go through treatment, and her parents wrote to me and sort of said that they were practicing these treatments that were happening through Toka Doctor, which is this an app which is set in sort of a hospital environment with various ailments that need to be addressed. So it was very hard for them to have this conversation, I think, both for the parents and for the kid, because, you know, it's a very touchy, very emotional subject. It's going to be difficult treatment. How do we talk about this? But this app became this outlet for that, that they played it together, and through playing it, they could start having this conversation of like, okay, this is a syringe. This is something that we're going to go through next week. How do you feel about that? And, you know, it becomes this shared space where kids and parents can actually have, you know, it's open enough for them to add that conversation. Again, it's not designed to be a conversation piece about medical treatments, but it can be that for some. I think those kind of stories where it's really made an impactful help in communication or help children deal with difficult situations, I think that's been really meaningful for us.
I said there's two more questions, and I guess this will wrap up later. So the second question is going to go down a completely different tack, which is, you started off, I mean, the parent company, of course, is a very large company, publishing company in its own right. But you started off with the brief, I think, of creating an app, and then you kind of went off in a way that nobody really expected in creating your app. You brought it out, and now you're pretty much selling apps on the level of the biggest app sellers. You're at the top of all the lists and whatever. I think you're outdoing Disney now, which is probably the leading name in the sector. And you've done this in only, what, 3-4 years?
4 years.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? How did you do it? What is it? What can you tell me about it?
I wonder this myself, to be honest. I think about it sometimes and think it's amazing how we ended up here. I think one of the big things is that we started first and foremost of creating a great experience for the medium. So like, how can we make something for a tablet or for a phone? And how do we start with that completely without legacy? So I think legacy is often sometimes very, very useful and brings with it a lot of positive things. You know, if you have a great book, we have a great film, you're thinking, let me just take this film and let me make that do something on the tablet, which is related to that. And while that's not necessarily a bad thing, I think the benefits of starting without any legacy is that you really focus on this being your core and only product. And our only intention was like, how can we make the best possible experience for kids on this new device? The tablet, of which at the time was completely new and no one really knew how to use. So it was sort of a completely open playing field, and we could take it in any direction. We didn't have anything to take into account. And also, there was no real legacy or history of the platform even. What can you do with an iPad? No one really knew at the time. So it meant it was very, very open. And I think that forced us to sort of set our own constraints of what do we want to achieve and what kind of way do we want to design in. We emphasis on play, emphasis on being having high quality and having gender-neutral apps. Those were constraints that we added ourselves as opposed to something that came with a platform. That creates a very focused idea, you know, a very focused team of this is important, this is what we want to do, and nothing else is really in the way of us being able to achieve that. So then once we figured that out, hard work, heads down, and been working for 4 years just trying to figure out how to do this. And it's still very difficult and challenging, but it's also very rewarding.
For a small developer, somebody who's starting up, obviously a competitor to you, potentially wants to be a competitor to you, any thoughts?
I think do your homework is what I tend to say. Like, we spent 4 or 5 months doing research around play patterns, branding, app store marketing, all of these aspects, before we wrote a single line of code. There were so many other things that go into creating sort of some a company which is well functioning than just having a fantastic product. Although that is, of course, a crucial component. But sometimes I feel like they focused everything on the product and forgot about all the other factors that come into play. And that is a common problem, but a deceitful situation, thinking that if I just have a great product, everything else is going to fall into place. And whereas there are examples of that happening, that tends not to be the case, unfortunately. So yeah, do your homework, think about the full 360 view of what do I need to have in order to make this successful, and start working on all of those fronts before you put something out.
That's pretty much my questions. Do you have anything that I didn't know to ask, didn't think to ask, something you just want to add?
A luxury that we've had lately is to start thinking about why we do these things and what it is we do really, really well. And what we've been doing lately is just taking a bigger stand for play, which I was sort of implying in the beginning as well, that play has a value in its own right. And whereas all play doesn't have to take place on the iPad or the iPhone, I think it's really important that play gets a sort of an enhanced role in society. And all the experiences that we make are designed to just encourage children to play. And I think a lot of creativity and imagination comes from that. And I think it's the chances for play to happen, especially in American society, is decreasing. And I think that's a shame, and something which will get a lot of negative consequences as well. When you lose the chance to play, you lose a lot of other things as well. And I'm just happy to be able to contribute to that while making apps that help children stimulate their own imagination and bring a little bit of that back, which I think a lot of parents had when they were younger, but maybe now feel that they have lost.
You speak of play. Can you equate play and education?
I think that's the problem, that is exactly what's being done. So we don't make educational apps per se. We make apps that I think you learn things from, but they're not strictly adhering to curriculum. What I think has happened in the US, and this is me from a Scandinavian perspective, is that children and education are often used in a synonymous manner. Like, the only purpose for children almost in society, I feel like sometimes, is to educate them. And while I'm not against education, I'm against education eclipsing all other things, like childhood. I feel sometimes that childhood in itself and everything that comes with that is actually being lost. And that's something that you can never get back again. I feel that the stress and worries and concerns of children not being on the right track sometimes completely overshadows other things that kids could get a lot of benefit from, and I think play is being one of them. So yeah, I would not put play and education in the same place. I'd say they're both important, and I wish that one did not supersede the other.
On the other hand, play and learning would be synonymous for you.
That is much closer. I think there's a lot of things you can learn through play which isn't educational, like learn how to be a good friend, learn how to share, learn how to play together. You know, there's many, many aspects of learning, and I'd say that education is one way of learning, but there are many other ways. And I think play is a great way of developing a lot of skills and traits and just experiences that you know, result in a lot of learning, but they're not educational per se.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful.